We've relied so much on government to do everything for us. Government can't be your mama and your daddy. We need to have a private sector solution, but government needs to be able to unbundle solutions.
But can the private sector be trusted to lead Africa's energy transformation? Or do they just care about the big returns on investments?
For the oil companies, it's about profit over people.
They don't care about the environment.
The fact that they're not even compensating these people when they're taking away their basic source of livelihood is just a glaring indication that they're more concerned about the money they make than the people.
But the money is important. So who is benefiting from Africa's resources?
The resources are going to Europe, they're going to America, they're going to China, because guess what? In most African countries have not invested in extracting this industry.
Interesting. Is the private sector the fix for what politics has broken, or just another player in the same old game? And when will Africa's wealth finally work for Africans?
Hello, I'm George Okachi, and I welcome you to Under the Baobab.
And my name is Mimi Mefonewu. Under this tree, the Baobab, you can also see the Baobab here. We break complex issues and we make it personal for you to be able to follow the money, the power, and the people shaping Africa's future.
Now, complex issues like who controls Africa's energy are never right. Just about oil or gas. They are about politics, society,
and survival,
the very survival.
Right. We have our guest today is Engie Ayuk, chairman of the African Energy Chamber, to discuss that with us. You already mentioned that today we are going to be talking about the money. And
yes,
we already heard people talking about oil and gas. So that is the topic for today.
Definitely. Everyone says, Mimi, Africa is endowed with resources. We are rich, you know, it's a rich continent.
Mm.
But the question is, who is really benefiting from these resources?
The government often takes the blame when it comes to the resources. But can the private sector really deliver what politics has not? Because the politics has failed us, can we rely on the private sector? Or are they there just to take?
Yeah, you know, take and take is a high-stakes game, Mimi. And of course, the government, both the government and the private sector, have a skin in it.
Right.
Sometimes we hear them competing. Sometimes there are some interests, some conflicts here and there. But the truth is, all of these things leave the common man embroiled in it, and they are the ones who are affected. And that's why you would ask questions like, we have these resources in our country.
How
but
does
I've
it
never
benefit
seen
us?
Any
How
benefit
does it
of
benefit
it? Yeah.
Me as an ordinary Nigerian, ordinary Ghanaian, Kenyan, Ugandan? That's what I want to know, George.
Definitely. That is not in my place to answer. And that's why I pressed Engie Ayuk to tell me. I mean, there is mistrust that is running deep about the Africa's energy's future. And Engie Ayuk had the task of telling me, why are we not benefiting as a society?
The answer to that is yes. I think the private sector can be trusted. And I tell you why. You have people who have built their businesses, they've built their lives around taking risks with their own money. They have to take on tough decisions that could be either life or death, or maybe even bankrupt your business tomorrow. It's a different kind of dynamic with somebody that just spends your money every day. We live in an Africa where you have 600 million that have no access to electricity, 900 million that have no access to clean cooking technologies. They have to cut biomass or firewood to cook. That is a business case right there.
But that is not the case, you will agree with me. And I'm glad that you've articulated on the numbers there, 600 million not having access to energy. What's your take on the distribution of wealth? And how is the private sector, which I'm sure you've been part of, play a role in improving it?
We've not always done well with the energy across Africa. We've not always done well with revenue management across Africa. And this is not just oil producing, but even mining producing countries. We just focus on export to get foreign earnings, but that has to change so that we have a pathway to an African energy security.
So, where are the resources going? You've been part and parcel of the, you know, the industry, and you should be knowing where the resources are going.
The resources are going to Europe, they're going to America, they're going to China, because guess what? You got to put skin in the game. When we come at investing, most African countries have not invested in extracting this industry. We've had a framework that was handed over to us by the IMF and the World Bank right from the 1960s and 70s that said the foreign company comes, they put the money, you give them the resources, they take it where they want to go. We never looked at Africa as a market. That is a big, big error.
George, so yes. Many decades after independence, yes. In Africa.
Yes.
We are still in a situation where we are looking at who is owning oil and gas, natural resources in Africa, who is running the business. The question should really be, who owns the oil and gas? Who owns the mineral resources in Africa?
That is a very good question. And in most constitutions, it has been structured around, you know, the term the state owns anything found beneath where you live, say, in Cameroon.
Who is the state here? When you say the state, who is the state?
It depends with which dictionary you want to use. The underlining word is that it is the sovereignty, that anything that is found beneath the surface of Cameroon belongs to Cameroonians.
Ghana.
Who are Cameroonians? That is a different question altogether. Yeah. It could be the government, you know, playing, you know, that ownership, or the people who are extracting the mineral.
I think George is just embezzlement. It's just a strategy to embezzle the money and keep it within a particular group of people, maybe the elites, the ruling class. It's just a strategy. Why not say the oil belongs to Africa, to the country?
Yes.
And then we now understand that the resources or the proceeds from the oil and gas, from the natural resources, will be distributed fairly to everyone. Because when you say belongs to the state,
yes.
You know the kind of the countries we have, the governments we have in Africa.
But they remember, would, Mimi, today...
They will use it as a passport to say, it's mine. And they will start distributing it amongst themselves and embezzling all of these monies. And people, the ordinary citizens, will not benefit.
Fair enough, Mimi, and I can totally agree with what you're saying. But today, because we're talking about the private sector, we're not, you know, talking about the government per se, but the responsibility of the private sector, and the key overriding question is, can the private sector correct what the politics has broken?
Right.
And for Angie,
and whether they're also part of the problem as well, whether they're enabling the governments in power, we need to also understand that.
Yeah.
But like you're saying, George, the elites are controlling a lot in terms of, you know, resources. So who are these elites in the energy sector? Are they doing the continent harm or good?
That's what I press Angie to explain.
I wouldn't say use the word elites, because most people you see in the energy sector in Africa, they came from bottom up. Think about it. I grew up in poverty. We were so poor, you wouldn't even consider us
why
as poor.
Why are you poor yourself?
Poor, you spell with P-O-R. We was like P-O. But you know what? We went to school without shoes. We didn't have much, but we built and we had something. We have $2.4 trillion in private capital in Africa. The real issue today is that if we do deal with the enabling environment issues, cut bureaucracy and red tape that we've seen with politicians, it allows capital flows to come in, and not just for people like me, but a lot of young Africans that want to start a small business.
Yeah, glad that you're pointing on the frustrations that many young people are facing, and, you know, the Africa populace as a whole. And I mean, these ideas you're talking about, we've heard it time over and again. So the key question is, can African private sector hold the governments accountable, or is it too busy securing deals? Are you people busy securing deals, Angie?
We want to secure deals. We want to hold government accountable, but it's a partnership. You can't act as an opposition leader to the guy who is going to sign everything that you need.
People have said that you, the private players, are complicit. You're part of the problem. How would you, you know, react to that?
Maybe we're part of the problem, but sometimes, you know, the past is reference, not residence. We can't just continue doing the blame game. We have to look at seeing 600 million Africans no access to electricity, more Africans trying to cross to the Mediterranean, our young people, a lot of them under 25, not having jobs, skills development is getting lower. A lot of children today don't have the education that my three little children are having right now. And we should be hoping to give them the same kind of education that someone like me can give to my children.
Look, George, I'm the government. You are the private sector. This is a document for you to sign. Yes. I need to sign for you to have the deals.
Yes.
And I say for you to sign, you must accept to the terms and conditions.
Mm-hmm.
Will you work in favor of the people, or will you work now in favor of the government? Who is supposed to sign the deals?
It's a question of moral compass. If I'm working for the interest of the people,
what has to do with money?
If I'm a private player who is working in the interest of the people, then I will sign, guided under principles of ethics, seeing to it that whatever I'm signing will benefit people of Cameroon, Kenya, Nigeria, or any other place.
But we are yet to see the proceeds. We are yet to see the outcome. I know an Angie Ayuk story to some extent, but I would also agree that he may have come from poverty, like you said, building business, making deals, and working to hold government accountable, especially on energy justice front. I've seen him doing a lot. But the big question remains, do these private sectors leaders really put the people first, or are they just chasing the deals, like you said?
Yes, and that's why under the Baobab, we believe it is crucial to hear directly from the people most affected by those decisions, those living in communities near oil fields, and those feeling the impact firsthand.
Abiodun Jamiu, our correspondent in Nigeria, has been speaking to some people in Nigeria.
I've not really benefited from Nigeria's oil and gas sector, despite the fact that Nigeria has a vast resource of oil and gas. But why is fuel expensive? Why is cooking gas expensive? Even for me to transport myself from one place to another is quite difficult because of the high rate of transportation fare.
Private companies are refusing to take responsibility for the consequences of so much of oil drilling in the region. So in Nigeria, I would say that the private sector in the oil industry has really caused a lot of damage.
And with respect to environment, the only time you hear of a cleanup, I think the last time we heard about a cleanup in Nigeria was during the time of President Goodluck Jonathan. So over the last 8 years, no cleanup has made it to limelight. And this was because they were even forced by the government to clean up the community. So it's very obvious that they're more concerned about money.
For the oil companies, it's about profit over people. It has never been about the people. It has never been about the environment.
So sad to hear that the people don't even see the outcome of the business, the deals.
There is clear lack of confidence in the private sector as well. And I believe that is the same narrative you will hear from people talking about the government. And if we've heard from Nigerians, I believe that is the same narrative that may be spread across in different nations that have different resources.
Yeah, so it's also clear that there's a deep frustration, not just with corporations, the companies making the deals, but also with governments and how they manage these resources and how they protect the communities that are involved.
Yeah, you know, energy independence is a concept that everybody is, you know, agitating for because, truth be told, because of capacity issues, could be that most African nations with resources have no capacity to, say, drill out or extract the resources for the benefit of their people.
So they need external support. Foreigner is coming, the foreigner has a lot to benefit.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, the profits doesn't, what the gains do not stay within the continent and they do not benefit the people.
Yes.
And do you think, Angie Ayuk, is that something Angie Ayuk discussed with you about how these investments are making, or the governments are making sure that local communities benefit from the wealth of the natural resources?
You know, when I have had the discussion with Angie Ayuk, or rather the conversation, he's part and parcel of people who sign these deals. Like he's like a third party to say a shell company coming to sign a deal with, say, Cameroon. And that's what I was trying to press him upon. Like, does he criticize the government, or he, you know, protects the business interests at this particular point?
I don't criticize government. I criticize them in a constructive fashion because we all need governments. They provide security, they provide safety. But I think government needs to get out of the way for the most part, because government is also part of the problem, and we have to admit. The thing, the key issues there is that look at issues around taxes and looking at issues around incentive, looking at issues around mismanagement of the economy. Governments have not done well, and we need to be, this is a different generation of Africa, man. We need to be able to hold our public officials accountable. What are we doing? We created an energy fund that says that we're going to drive up energy across Africa. But also, government needs to untangle some of the rules that constrain finances from coming in. We've been able to push and bring in millions of dollars on projects across the continent. I'd like to have many more Africans really drive and create a voice for business and change in our continent. But I like a choir, but if I have to go solo, I'll go solo.
Yeah, and of course, you've been going solo. You often argue that Africa must control its own resources. But how much control do you or do we really have when international companies, oil majors and billionaires dominate exploration and profit sharing?
It's not about control. I don't believe in resource nationalism. I think that's wrong. But I also think right from the get-go, we need to put skin in the game. We need to become active participants in these projects. We need to invest. But there's also some things that we cannot do where we don't have money to invest. We need to have the rules that protect everyday citizens, local content, encourage the hiring and promotion of women by creating rules and leveling the playing field. Look at the communities where you find resources in. Why don't we create community trust funds so that those communities, you've seen what has happened in Niger Delta and even my home country, Cameroon, so that those communities don't feel left out. Those communities feel like these resources that have been found in our community, we've created trust funds for education, healthcare, and infrastructure so they can also have jobs.
Angie Ayuk has just laid everything bare. He says that if the government red tape slows down or slows things down, it's everyday people who suffer. And without real investment in local communities, Africa's riches keep slipping and slowing down or slipping through the fingers.
Yes.
The thing is, African independence means more than just controlling the resources. Mm-hmm. It's about creating new success stories on the continent. Just look at how M-Pesa, for instance, changed a lot of things for some young Africans as well. So we need to see such success stories in some parts of the continent. What do you think, George?
Yeah, and I mean, M-Pesa was a revolutionary, you know, invention. It came from Kenya, I should say.
But we don't have that a lot, unfortunately, in other parts of West Africa. So
yeah, but we have a number of young people who are thinking of innovation, but maybe access to opportunities is the problem. And so how does Africa set its own energy agenda, one that fits our needs, not someone else's interests? Energy independence, in other words.
Our energy independence, our corporate independence from big corporations above is to look at everyday African, those markets that Africans are having. 1.4 billion people in this continent. If you pay attention to that 1.4 billion in Africa, if you pay attention to that 70% that is considered young or youth, you pay attention to that is market. That is your future. You tap into that, you have so much independence. But we have to look at technology. But we need to also look at using our natural gas to be able to power Africa, earn, but do it sustainably and responsibly, and not rely on aid. The era of relying on aid is over. We should be able to break down those trade barriers within our continent, ramp up intra-Africa energy trade, build financial systems that really open up access to capital, not to the old, not to the politicians, but to the young people to drive up this continent. Whoever thought our young Africans could take Afrobeats and make it the envy of the world? If you don't believe in this continent and its energy future, then you're making a big mistake. But climate change, yes, it's a problem, but energy poverty is also a problem.
Believe in the energy, the natural resources, and what it brings to Africa. Yeah, that's the message.
And definitely not over-depending or even expecting to get an angel somewhere to help us solve our problems or even spear the energy transformation agenda.
Exactly, George. We need to use all forms of energy that we have at our disposal. We need the solar, the wind, fossil fuels to break out of energy poverty on our own terms. We should be able to dictate what happens and what doesn't happen based on the resources that we have.
Yeah, but as we are doing that, how about breaking down government monopolies and letting innovation and private solutions thrive?
But do you also think that relying solely on the government has held us back? And how can Africans take energy into their own hands?
Well, we will be interested to know what you think about that. But before we get to that, let's see how Angie answered that.
Use all forms of energy to get yourself out of energy poverty. So what do I mean? We use solar, we use wind, all kind of renewables, we use fossil fuels. So we need to look at African solutions to take care of people like my grandmother in the village that don't have electricity. Because you know why? It's going
did,
to have to
did
come
you say
from
your
within.
Grandmother doesn't have electricity?
She lived in a village without.
I'm struggling to believe that, Angie.
That's the issue. Most people wouldn't believe that. I use solar in my home. I use an off-grid solution because the grid doesn't work well even in South Africa, and we need to be able to drive that. Because the problem is that we've relied so much on government to do everything for us. Government can't be your mama and your daddy. We need to have a private sector solution, but government needs to be able to unbundle solutions so that I, for one, can go into my village and create an off-grid solution with solar or wind to be able to drive up energy to those people in that village. But when you have government monopolies say it cannot, you can't do it, it has to go only through government, then it holds back development because then you start seeing the issues of bureaucratic mismanagement, corruption, and everybody wants it to do. So people take their money in countries where they can actually ramp that up.
Time to cool off, Judge.
Yeah, definitely. Such subjects can be a little bit heated.
And some people can be saying, oh, it's a lot to take in.
Yeah,
this
definitely.
So much
it's a lot of selling hope, but some will still complain like, okay, you've told us this, but we are not seeing our resource really help us. And then at this particular juncture, we have to, you know, lighten up the mood. And under the baobab, we have a special way of doing it.
Not right? Just that, we take our guests under the baobab. Get to know him on a personal level.
Private sector or politics, who is doing more harm?
Politics.
Energy or education or health, which would you give priority if you are in a position of power?
Energy, because energy provides education and health.
Nigeria or Ghana, who is getting the economy more right?
Oh, you like trouble. Why you put me in the middle? I would say Nigeria.
One word to describe Africa's future.
Bulletproof.
Okay, Africa in 5 years. Growth, development, or aid?
Growth and development. No aid. Dump aid.
One African president you believe listens to their people.
Whew. I would say you get me in trouble, man.
The clock is ticking. All right. Most overused word in African leadership speeches.
I would say the overused word would be unity.
And this one is more personal. African billionaires like you, are they doing enough for the continent? Yes or no?
You really think I'm a billionaire? I think yes. African billionaires are doing a lot for the continent. They just look at what Dangote did in Nigeria. He did the largest refinery, giving that country energy security. We need to encourage them more.
And if you weren't in the oil and gas sector, what would you be doing?
I'll be a country boy teaching in a local school in my village.
Do you believe the youth will take over or just burn out?
No, they will. They will. And they should. We can't let 92-year-old, 93-year-old people running African countries and running for elections.
We should be supporting young people. Who are you talking about in 92 years?
I have selective amnesia.
All right. When did you last feel truly proud to be African?
Every day, I am proud to be an African. Every day.
Every day, I'm proud to be an African. I like that statement, George. Mm-hmm. But we can't talk about energy minus the environmental impact that the sector comes with. Mm-hmm. So far, Angie has shared bold ideas on independence and investment. But I need to know mm-hmm. how these resources mm-hmm. and the extraction mm-hmm. of these resources are affecting our environment.
Yeah, well. A very pertinent question, Mimi. We can't talk about energy and extraction without the environmental impact. Mm. And the question we should be asking is accountability.
Right.
What are these companies doing after, you know, causing the harm? We've reported numerously of, you know, on oil spills.
Right. Unfortunately, in Africa, enforcement is often very weak and mm-hmm. sometimes governments are complicit, mm-hmm. you know.
Let's hear what he had to say.
I think we should hold oil companies accountable. When there is, you know, when you had an oil spill in the United States with BP, you know what happened? The U.S. government held BP accountable. BP paid millions of dollars to compensate for that. It should be no difference from Africa. When you've seen issues around the Niger Delta with Shell, we need to hold them accountable. There should be a zero tolerance policy when it comes to the communities. And that's what people don't understand. Problem sometimes is that you have a spill and then you have government sometimes get complicit in not holding companies accountable. That is just wrong.
And it's not just accountability we should be talking about. It should be about also making sure that the leaders across the board are changing the strategy. And if they are not competent enough, there should be change even in terms of leadership. If the old ways aren't working, George, maybe it's time for new voices to step up.
You know,
maybe like the private sector.
Definitely. Where I come from, sometimes leadership or people who are vying for political leadership are people who speak good English. You call it good English. Someone like Angie. And I was interested when I heard him speak. He's eloquent, of course, and charismatic.
So you want him to run for president?
I asked him, is it time you are selling, you know, hope and telling us we need to change things for the energy transformation in Africa? I asked him if he should instead be running for a political office.
That's a good one. What did he say? I'm curious to know, because we are seeing business people thriving. Should they start becoming politicians? Should they be running for office, public office, like post of president, for instance?
Let's Stefan play that clip for us.
Maybe some business people should consider getting involved in politics. I think they'll do a better job than the current crowd that we have, you know. And so I encourage you to one day consider being an elected official and help us change and turn around Africa.
Are you considering to stand for presidency in Cameroon?
Oh, do you think you would ever vote for someone like me? I think the only problem.
But why not? Why not? You are having a solution to the energy problems facing not only Cameroon, but the entire continent.
Being a candidate, no, that's not for me. I think I have a job that allows me to champion Africa. I'm a Pan-Africanist. I'm a free market guy. So I like limited government. I like capitalism. And I like making money. So I think being the private sector to continue encouraging growth and driving energy and defending Africa's right to produce every drop of hydrocarbons, it's more important.
Yeah, and of course, I take keenly your advice that I should consider running. But I also don't want to limit myself to politics. But what I really want to do is make money, you know, in the energy sector. So what would you advise a young person like me? How to come in and make money and also make solutions?
Absolutely. You know, the best thing to do is that make money at the same time, do good. So you think about how you can provide energy. First of all, just look at services, and you provide services to some of the.
Let's establish. Are you making money and doing good?
Absolutely. I mean, talking to you right now is doing good. I mean, you know, I got to take time away from making money to really have a conversation with you. That's me. That's doing good. But also, you know, one of the things that we set up is that we set up a fund to encourage young people to participate in Africa's energy development. We Africans have to do it. I tell you this, my friend, Superman is not coming. Batman is not coming. Wakanda Forever is a good movie, but the Black Panther is not coming. You're going to have to do a lot of that yourself with other young Africans to get us out of where we are.
Our leaders are failing us in Africa, George.
Yes.
It's with sadness that I say this. Young people are on the streets protesting because they are not happy the way the things are run in the country. Mm-hmm. But business people are succeeding in their businesses, and we feel...
Yeah.
That these are the people that can lead us, because if they can succeed in business, they could succeed in running the things or affairs of the state.
It defeats a logical, you know, explanation that, as you're saying, the government is failing and people we have hope to help us from the mud are also saying they are not responsible.
Mm-hmm.
So we are left on our own.
Well, Africa's energy future won't be built by waiting for a superhero or the next big surprise. It starts with real people, bold ideas, business innovations, and voices like yours demanding accountability and action.
And can the private sector solutions finally bring power and real change to Africa's communities. We want to hear from you. Share your thoughts in the comments. And if you are passionate about Africa's transformation, don't forget to subscribe.
Always. Where do we listen or watch the Baobab under the Baobab? Wherever you get your podcast from, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or right here on DW Africa YouTube channel. And please don't forget to subscribe.
Definitely. My name is George Okachi.
And I am Mimi Mefonewu. Stay curious, stay bold, and see you next time.